So let's get into Proverbs 3. Let me, okay, Proverbs 3. Okay. My wife was just texting me that I had a wardrobe malfunction, and I just fixed it. So sorry, I'm rattled right now. We're all good. Just let me just make sure. Okay. We're all good. Thank you. Okay. Woo! Okay. That was a tough one. My goodness. Thank you, baby, for looking out for me. I need to make this pulpit a little bit wider at the base there. So, are we done yet? Can we just wrap up now and pray? Did we get through this already? Super. Okay, so you're all there, Proverbs 3. Everybody's got a Bible with them? We love to teach you God's word here. We love to go through God's word and cover each verse, every line, every word. And so it starts off here, chapter 3, verse 1. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Let me stop right there. You are seeing here, and we've already discussed this as we're starting our series in the book of Proverbs, that it's Solomon as a father now, pouring out his heart to his children now. He's like, hey, guys, gather around, all right? I want to impart some truth to you. I want to give you some life lessons so that you can walk in ways that are going to benefit you, that are going to bless you. I want to provide kind of that right path for you guys to walk on, so you don't make the same kind of pitfalls, mistakes, and have to live life the hard way as we were talking about last week. It's so good. And as any parent knows, you love to give good life lessons to your children, right? The other day I had one of my sons. I said, hey, you know what? I need you to do the dishes. I'm going to give you $5 if you do the dishes well, you know? Go ahead and wash them, clean them, do some of that stuff. I'm going to bless you for that. I'm teaching him life lessons that there's reward for work, you know? And then after he's done, I hit around the corner and I mugged him. I took the $5 back to teach him, you know, life lessons. You can't always trust everybody. There's times where you got to be careful in life, you know. And you need to teach them these things or else they don't learn. They don't grow. So here's Solomon. And he's teaching his kids, teaching his sons, you know, how it is to live a life that's going to benefit and bless you and ultimately bless God. These are things that are not just a father to his son, but they're things that are applicable to us. Proverbs for everyday living. That's why these are words of wisdom. These are helpful to us. So that's what we're looking at here as we go through this. And it's interesting as we look at this chapter here in chapter 3, we're going to be going through these first 12 verses where we see this call that we have, this call, this charge that Solomon's giving out. But this call, this instruction is attached to a blessing. And we're going to see six of them as we go through these first 12 verses. Look at these with me here. Verses 1 and 2. The call is to obey God. But now the reward side of that, the blessing that comes, is that there's length of days, there's long life, there's peace for us. In verses 3 to 4, the call or the instruction is remember God. But when you do so, there's going to be favor among God or from God and among men as well. Verses 5 to 6, oh, famous verses that we'll look at here today. The call, the instruction is to trust God, but the blessing that comes from that is that he's going to direct your path. He's going to make straight ways before you. How many people enjoy having straight paths rather than crooked ways and pitfalls and things like that? Yeah, trust God, straight paths. Verses 7 to 8, revere God. Have a reverence towards him, and the blessing is health and strength for you. There's a physical health that comes from that. And then verses 9 to 10, honor God. The blessing is provision. Verses 11 and 12, submit to God. Submit to him, and then you have an assurance that you're his. You're a child that he loves. We'll look at what that all looks like as we move through here. But the first one, obey God. We read those first couple verses. Solomon pouring out his heart. Do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace, they will add to you. So the instruction is to keep these commands now, right? Keep these instructions that God is giving you, that Solomon has passed on, and no doubt he's looking to the word of God, he's looking to the law of God that they would have, and he's saying, keep these things. Solomon to his children, keep these things. Place them in your heart, let your heart keep them. They're to be practiced and lived out is what he's saying, right? When you're keeping something in your heart, it's kind of like, it's what's that driving force to what you're doing, how you're living life. When you put God's word in your heart, you see, that is what is affecting how you live now. It's the very, very seat of the inner man in a sense here. It's directing you in all these things. So don't forget about them. Don't forsake them. We may not forsake God's law or God's word willingly, right? We know that most of us, I would say here, never would say, oh, I'm just willingly going to forsake these things. I see what it's saying, but forget it. But what we do oftentimes do is we forget about them, right? We don't purposefully forsake them often, but we can neglect them. We can forget about them. Forgetting is something I'm sure that we're all very good at, right? And if you don't think so, I'm sure it's just because you've forgotten how forgetful you are. So let's be honest here. We can be very forgetful. So how do we keep these commands? How do we keep God's word? How do we apply it to our heart? Memorization. Memorization, right? Psalm 119, verse 11, David says, your word I've hidden in my heart. Your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. David understood the importance of taking God's word, not just in the ear, but taking it into the heart and applying it, memorizing it, knowing it, letting it direct you. Because he knew that as soon as that gets into my heart, it is having an effect in how I live. And how do we get God's word into our heart? We memorize it. We take it in. And I encourage you guys, be people that are taking, not just reading through God's word, but meditating on it and taking it in, memorizing it. Oh, I love memorizing scripture. There's the scripture in the New Testament and it's just memorizing is so good, guys. It's get God's word in your heart, you see. Don't neglect God's word. This is what it's saying. Let it be lived out with your whole being, with your heart. That's why they're being instructed now by Solomon. Let your heart keep my commands. And God doesn't say, obey my commands to hinder you, right? God's not saying, obey my commands because I want to really restrict you. Keep my word in your heart so that now you don't do anything at all that's going to be wrong or that you just feel afraid to move anyway. God's not restricting us in keeping his commands. He doesn't seek to hinder us. He wants to help us. Understand that, guys, that when we talk about obedience to God's word, for some people that can be very heavy. That can be like, man, obey God's word. No, this is not a hindrance in our lives. This is God desiring to help you and bless you, you see. It's not a burden. It's to benefit us. Look at the promise here that we see there. For in verse 2, length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Spock summed it up well for us. Live long and prosper, right? Now listen, I'm not a Trekkie by any means. I don't know how Spock's going to go about attending to that. But I know how we can have a healthy life. And that is through living out God's word. Guys, there is a great blessing that comes as we follow in the Lord's ways. It's a life that's living the abundant life, the peaceable life, the life that's governed by the very author of life. He knows how life is meant to be lived. Why would we not live it his way then? He's the very giver and author of life. Paul would say in Ephesians 6, verse 1 and 3, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Paul is quoting from Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, the very Ten Commandments there. Paul brings it up in the New Testament. He says, kids, just obey your parents. Why? So that it may go well with you. Oh, kids. We're the kids here. Kids, raise your hands. Okay. Anybody that's, 30 and under will say no. Okay. But yeah. Obedience. Following your parents, that it might go well with you. Do you know how often, I'm sure all you kids could yell at a big amen, that when you disobey your parents, does it go well with you? No. You get what? Yeah. Okay. That's exactly it. We're sending all the kids to Muhammad here. Okay. You don't want to step out of line with your parents, not because they're looking to be harsh or mean, but because there needs to be correction. They love you. They want to correct. They want to keep you on the straight path, like what Solomon is looking to do. And so, you know, when you follow in obedience, it goes well with you. How much more then if you are following our Heavenly Father and walking in obedience to Him? How much more do we experience then a life that goes well with you? Rhetorical question, obviously you don't have to raise your hands, but how many people have experienced when you step off that path and direction that God has for you, you know very quickly, it ain't going very well with me. Man, I'm struggling along. This is not going well. Because we've gotten off track, you see. A life of obedience brings a clear conscience, a mind of peace. And that certainly plays a part in our physical well-being, doesn't it? Now, again, guys, keep in mind these are general promises being given here, okay? There are, through Proverbs, we'll see promises that you hold on to. These are absolute yes. But there are also promises where it's the general case. We know that there are people that have lived a good, obedient life. They've served the Lord well. And yet, their life was taken from them prematurely. This is not a promise where you look at somebody that's maybe died and at 30 years of age and you go, oh, well, I guess they just were disobedient, you know, they didn't live this long life. That's not an absolute, this is a general way that it will go well with you when you walk in obedience. You're going to be blessed. You're going to be just living life with a peace, with a clear conscience, with a joy in the Lord because you're living for Him. And if your life expires prematurely, guess what? Bonus, you're with Him. Face to face. And that's when you really enjoy the good life, is it not? All right. So, obedience to the word can add years. And I love, this is what Warren Wiersbe says. I love it. Obedience to the word can add years to your life and life to your years. You just live the good life as you live it in the Lord. So, obey Him. Secondly, verses 3 to 4, we see the call. Now, the instruction is to remember God. Look at verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. So as we live these lives for God, understand, let's not stray from some of these key principles or components that should be a mark of our life. And it lays it out for us here in verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Don't neglect it. We can be those that can excel in one or the other. We can excel in mercy and yet lack truth. We can excel in truth and yet lack mercy. Understand, we need a real balance between the two. Because if you're living out a life of just mercy without truth, then there's no boundary. There's no kind of, you know, direction. Everything's permissible. Everything's okay. Oh, you know what? Yeah, you're having an affair on your spouse. Oh, you know what? It's okay. Just, I'm about mercy. And without truth, there's just no good balance there. And if you have truth without mercy, well, you can be saying the right thing, but if it's not backed by the right spirit, then it just becomes brutality in a sense. It's harsh. I had the experience of that this past week, and sadly, I was the guilty party in this. I was watching my son's basketball game, and I was sitting behind the parents from the other team. And they started there's a couple of them that just started giving it to the ref. They were just not nice. And I'm sitting here, Lord, help me. Because I've been in that shoes of roughing games, you know. I've been there and I know what it's like. And these guys don't need any abuse. They don't need parents yelling, oh, that's just brutal. It's a high school game. It's like, come on, give me a break, right? So these parents were just giving, they're just, and they're being mean. They're not just saying, come on, ref, you missed. They're like being mean about the ref, you know. And so I'm sitting here, I'm just like, Lord, help me, Lord. And he was busy helping somebody else, I guess, because I finally just kind of had enough. And I got up, I said, guys, give it a rest. Stop. This is high school basketball, okay? Your son's not making it to the NBA. Just enjoy the game, all right? I didn't say that. But here's the problem in my heart. Yeah, in my heart, it was there. And so here's the problem. And I kind of scared them because I kind of Lurched out, and they're just kind of like, what is this crazy guy doing? And I just kind of laid out there, said, just relax, enjoy it. You guys don't need to be doing this. And so I spoke truth, but I think I lacked a bit of mercy on that one, you know? And I felt bad for it afterwards. I repented. Don't worry, guys. But I just need to share those things with you sometimes because, you know, just so that you know, I'm human like you guys, all right? And I blow it just like you guys. Probably not as much, but I do blow it like you guys. I do. Don't think I'm perfect because I'm not. So the Lord's working with my heart too, you know? And so I'm reading this and I'm like, yeah, Lord, you know, I wish I had covered that before I went to the game, but I didn't. So that was after the fact. So you learn these things. We need mercy. We need truth. If we're going to, you know, serve the Lord, you see, there's a wonderful balance that needs to be attained here. And it'll only be attained when we make these attributes a part of who we are, you see. And that's why Solomon says, guys, bind them around your neck. Write them again. Here's the heart issue. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Man, let this just be seared into you in a sense, right? Let this be what's governing you, walking a life of mercy and truth. This character is attractive. Notice here, verse 4, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. This is an attractive character. This is something that should be marking the believer today. It's pleasing to God, but it's also pleasing to your fellow man. In other words, you gain a good reputation when you have a merciful and truthful life. And we're not looking just to bolster our reputation among men, but as believers, we should naturally have a good rapport, a good reputation among men if we are living for God. It doesn't mean that everybody's going to love you, because we know that when we serve the Lord, the world, there's a natural animosity against that, because there are people that are wanting to push Jesus aside. So we're not talking about trying to make everybody like us, but these are characteristics. These are traits that if we're binding them around our neck and we're putting them in our heart, writing them on the tablets of our heart, that there's going to be something attractive to that. When push comes to shove, the world is going to know who I can turn to, who I can look to for help, you see. Amen? Tracking? No? Okay. We'll cover those verses again. All right, no. Everybody's tracking here? You're with me? Super. Okay. Hey, verse 5 and 6. Oh, bingo. These are solid verses. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. How many people have read that verse before? How many people have memorized that verse? Okay, awesome. Oh, this is a great verse. If you're hearing this verse for the first time, boy, this is an honor to be able to share this with you guys here today. But this is a foundational verse that many people has, you know, a lot of people have their life verse, right? And for many people, this is it. This is like their life verse. This is what I cling to, and it's good. And we're called here in verse 5 to trust in the Lord again. Here's the heart issue. Guys, so much of our problems, it comes down to a heart issue. You know what? When people are bugging you, annoying you, you know what? Oftentimes the problem is what's going on in my heart. Where's my heart in these things? That's why it keeps coming back to the heart here for us. Let these things be a part of your heart. Let them be etched in your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. So we're seeing the focus on the heart in each of these instructions that are given so far, and that's important. To the Jew, the heart was the very center of your being, you know? It was essentially the whole man. It was all his attributes, physical, intellectual, and psychological, of which the Hebrew thought and spoke. And the heart, again, was conceived of as the governing center for all these things. So the heart is very important here. And when we're called to trust in the Lord with all your heart, it means to trust him with all you got. Trust him with everything you have, with all that you are, in every area of your life. Trust in the Lord. It's more than a mind over matter thing. It becomes a settled confidence in his ability to care for you. Do you understand that? You see, we can all say, and at times we're saying it, okay, I just got to trust the Lord. And we try to put this mind over matter. Okay, if I just believe it hard enough, I will really live in that trust. But when it's trusting the Lord with all your heart, it becomes settled in you to where there's that settled confidence in his very ability, that he's watching out for you and he's caring for you. He's going to take care of you. That's so good. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And then that also implies that you're not going to lean on your own understanding, right? If we're leaning on our own understanding, if we're relying upon our wisdom and our strength to get us through, then we're not truly trusting the Lord with all of our heart. When John Patton was translating the Bible for a South Seas Island tribe, he discovered that they had no word in their dialect for trust or faith. There's no word that he could translate for trust or faith for them. Well, one day a native who had been running hard to come and see the missionary came into the missionary's house and he flopped himself in a large chair. And he said, "It's good to rest my whole weight on this chair." Suddenly, that's when it hit Patton. That's the way I'm looking to translate this. I'll translate faith as resting one's whole weight on God. And that's how he was able to make that word apply to this tribe there. That's what we're not just instructed to do, guys, but it's what we're invited to do. Think about that. God's not saying, hey, he's not calling out or instructing, saying, you guys do this. He's saying, guys, come and do this. Come and rest your whole weight on me. How many times do we feel ourselves getting weighed down by the world, weighed down by the things that we're trying to hold on to and carry, the things that we're trying to keep in place or in motion, and we get burdened down, we get weighed down by these things because we're not trusting in the Lord. The Lord is inviting us, saying, guys, trust me with all your heart. Stop leaning on your own understanding. Stop doing things your way and come under my way here. I love that. We just need to let go and flop down and trust in faith in God's ability to hold us, to lead us, and to take care of us. And he desires to do so. That's a great thing. Can you imagine that? God desires to lead us. That's what we see here as we continue on here. But listen, first of all, how do we stop from getting sidetracked or focused on our own way? How do we prevent ourselves from reverting back, which is so often the pattern in our lives? How do we stop ourselves from reverting back to leaning on our own understanding? The Bible tells us, acknowledge him, seek him. Acknowledge him in all your ways. In everything you're doing, simply acknowledge him in all your ways. I love that. In other words, seek him. Ask for his understanding and guidance. Get to know him and grow in him along the way. Don't you, isn't that great? Just, it's living a life where you are having just that daily 24/7 consciousness of God, right? See, too often I think people can fall into that trap of living their Christian life like, you know, and we've used this illustration before, like that TV dinner. We compartmentalize everything. We got our mashed potatoes right here. We got our corn niblets right over here. We got our, you know, Salisbury steak, we hope, is what that is. Some mystery meat there in that TV. Remember those old TV dinners, right? Hey, you guys remember those? Throw them in the metal tray. And then you remember, you can't put those in the microwave. Those don't work. So you got your meat, and then you got some dessert, right? And we compartmentalize everything. And it's like that in our Christian life. We got, you know, our friends over here. We've got our work. And then we got, you know, God and church over here at Christ. And we don't mix them. They're all compartmentalized. They're all in their nice little neat place, but we don't want to integrate them. And a lot of times we live life that way where it's like, okay, I'm on work time right now. And my work character is much different than my church character. My work character, man, you know, I roll up my sleeves, the guards come down, and I'm just like, you just don't get in my way, you know. And then we have our friends, you know, and we're so different with our friends. And then we come to church, and everybody's like, wait, you know, how you doing? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How's God been in your life today? And everything's just, you know, this like, you know, and then you see them out during the week, and it's so different. Because sometimes we fail to live life with this awareness and acknowledgement that God is with us 24/7. So I want to live with a consciousness of God's presence at work in my life 24/7. I want to acknowledge him in all that I do. In all my ways, I want to live for the Lord. The Bible says, everything you do, do unto the Lord. Everything. And if there's something you're doing that you feel like, I don't think the Lord, I can do this under the Lord, then don't do it. Stop doing it. Say, this doesn't jive then with my life as a Christian. If you're out fishing, do it under the Lord. If you're out buying groceries, do it under the Lord. Acknowledge him in those things. You're walking down the aisles, you're just like, Lord, just, you know, lead me to the sales here, you know. Lead me to the good deals, right? And lead me to people that I can talk to about you, Jesus. Just in everything you're doing, you're acknowledging him. It's a great way to live. It's a life that's just full of praise and honor and just living for him. How else can you describe it? I hope I've covered that, but it's a glorious thing. And when you do, here's the great thing. When you do, and understand here too, let me just say, trust in the Lord, lean on your own understanding and acknowledge him. Sometimes we get into this frame of mind too, and I'm just backtracking a bit here, but sometimes we get in this frame of mind that we need to seek the Lord for just every smallest detail of our life. We need to be sure that we're in the Lord's will, right? You ever, you know, it's like you wake up in the morning, okay, Lord, you know, which socks should I wear here? Lord, please direct me now. What socks? And it's like, what cereal should I eat? You know, and then you go through your day and your day's just a pitch. You're like, I knew I should have gone with the Shreddies, not the Fruit Loops. I blew that. Oh, and you're just like, man, I missed it. You know, stepped out of the Lord's will. I had the wrong cereal. And we can get so caught up in these things and understand, I think, again, the Lord, and I've said this many times before, and you can say, I disagree, you can come and talk to me afterwards, but I think the Lord is not so concerned with all the small details of what you do, but more so about who you are and how you live. Now, yeah, let me back up here. He's in all the details. He's concerned about the small details, but he's concerned with, again, your heart. That's why the emphasis to this is your heart here. He's concerned with how you're living for him. Are you honoring him in what you do? Are you acknowledging him in all you do? And if it's an activity that you can't acknowledge God in, that you think God wouldn't want me here or doing this, then don't do it. But honor him, live for him, serve him, and understand that living in a way where you are seeking him, trusting him, looking to be used of him, that's God's will for your life. That's God's will for your life. To just live a life that glorifies him, that magnifies his name. That's the will of God for your life, guys. And I can magnify the name of Jesus with white socks on or black socks on. I can magnify the name of Jesus through my day if I've ate Fruit Loops or if I've ate Shreddies. I gravitate to the Fruit Loops, but either one is fine. You see? And we can get so caught up and paralyzed from even moving forward because we're fearful over what's the will of the Lord. Should I take this job or should I take that job? Should I go to this school or that school? Oh, I can't. I don't know. I'm so worried. Just pick a job, pick a school, and honor the Lord and magnify his name there. And he'll take care of it. And you see, as we do these things, guess what happens? Here's the great byproduct of a life that's lived in trust with all your heart and leaning not on your understanding. Here's the great byproduct, the blessing that we saw earlier, is that he directs your paths. We don't have to agonize. You just begin to walk and he directs your paths. He directs them. He can't direct. You've heard me say this before. God can't steer a parked car. And too often we're sitting paralyzed. We're stuck. We're just sitting still going, Lord, show me where to go. And he's like, just walk and I'll direct your paths. Live for me. Glorify me and I'll direct your paths. He's like, I got it laid out, but you're just not moving. Step out. He told Abraham, just go. Abraham's like going, where do you want me to go? Just go, Abraham. I'm going to direct you. And Abraham stepped out not knowing where he was going. But it's as he begins to get on the move that God directs him and brings the next piece of the puzzle into play. God's got it all worked out. We don't have to have it all worked out. We just need to trust the Lord with all of our heart. Acknowledge him. Stop leaning on your own ways. And he's going to direct your paths. Isn't that good? What a great blessing that comes from that. Just live your life following his word. Worshiping God. Loving him. loving others, and you will be in the center of his will, and he's going to direct your path and take care of the specifics. So trust him, not yourself. So we're going to move on. Verse 7 now. So we've seen obey God, to remember God, trust God. Number 4 here is reverence God. Look at verse 7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It'll be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. A person that is wise in their own eyes just really is prideful. And that, oh boy, pride. I hate pride. Pride is something that we can oftentimes wrestle with. And it's something we oftentimes wrestle with because it's one of those sins, it's one of those things that we're the last person to realize we have it. Right? Because pride tells us you're not prideful. Oh, no, Brent. You're not prideful. Come on. You don't wrestle with pride. Forget what those people are telling you. They're morons. They don't know what they're talking about. You don't have pride. And it's my pride that feeds my pride to tell me that I don't have pride. You see? That's the problem here. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Sadly, that pride just blinds people from the reality that they're not wise, that they don't know it all. Right? It's like watching American Idol. People who come in thinking that they can sing, right? It's like, oh, my mama has told me that I'm just the most beautiful voice she's ever heard, right? And they get into audition and they start singing and dogs are like hiding under couches. Birds are migrating away. It's just horrendous, you know? And they're thinking that I can sing. They've been kind of wise in their own eyes, thinking that, oh, I'm so wonderful. I'm so good. That's what pride does, right? It's exactly what pride does. Proverbs 26, verse 12 says, do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. Wow. We have the opportunity to work with and correct a fool more than we do a person that's wise in their own eyes. Because again, they're the last person to get it. They're the last person to say, oh, yeah, I do need a change. I do need some correction in my life. A person that's wise in their own eyes that's dealing with pride won't receive that. That's why we need to seek the Lord and be humble, walk in humility, have a reverence before God to recognize how great he is and how small we are, and that we are nothing without him. So we need to put away that ridiculous notion that we're all that, live with a reverence toward the Lord because he is all that, and depart from this evil tendency. And if you do, here's the blessing. If you do, it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. You know, it's been estimated that fear, sorrow, envy, resentment, hatred, guilt, and other emotional stresses account for 60% of our illnesses. Add to that the terrible toll that, you know, alcohol can leave, tobacco, immorality with diseases and such. Understand, guys, that sin takes a toll. Solomon was a, by divine inspiration, way ahead of his times in the field of medical science. Again, remind ourselves that this promise is not a promise of absolutes, but walking according to God's ways brings a peace, it brings an invigoration and joy that's not experienced apart from him. And I believe truly aids in your physical well-being and your overall health. He's going to bless you. Doesn't mean you're not going to be sick ever. But there's something that comes when we're living life for him, on track with him, letting him direct our paths as we trust in him, that there's just an invigoration, a strength that comes that is healing to our lives. Verse 9, honor God. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. This is a good one. Here's a way, guys, that we begin to see now how well we are truly trusting the Lord. It's in the area of finances. Oh, Brent, don't go there. Don't go there. This really is where the rubber hits the road oftentimes, and where we begin to see, is my heart walking fully in trust with the Lord? How do I handle my finances? Am I honoring the Lord with them? We can all say we're living our lives trusting God. But what's our reaction if he were to say to you Sunday morning, I want you to put $1,000 in that offering box? By the way, he did instruct me to tell you guys to, that is actually a word from the Lord. No, I'm just teasing. But if you're convicted, receive it. Seriously, how we handle our finances really begins to reveal how we are trusting the Lord, isn't it so? Because all through the Word of God, we see instruction about being given. They were instructed in the nation of Israel to bring their first fruits to the Lord. That's what he says here in verse 9. Honor the Lord with your possession and with the first fruits of all your increase. And so being in an agrarian, you know how, the word I'm trying to say. Okay, forget it. Somebody say it for me. Agrarian? Okay. Agrarian, is that how you say it? Thank you. All right. So being in this, I'm going to stumble again. Being in this agrarian, why do I keep saying it? Forget it. They were tilling the grounds. Harvesting. Farmers. Thank you. Better. Boy, oh boy. Nation of Israel, because they were farmers. And they were called now when you plant your seed and when the harvest grows and the first fruits of that, bring that to the Lord. Bring it to the Lord. Because in so doing, what they're saying is that we understand that God has given me this. This is the Lord's. I'm going to honor him in it. And I'm going to say, I'm going to trust the Lord for the rest. See, when you have the first fruits, it's like, woo, all right, we've got fruit. We've got a harvest. We got to harvest this. We got to bring it, and we got to hold on, because we don't know if there's going to be any more that's going to come. The first fruit was important. But God says, honor me with the first fruits of all your increase. Because in so doing, they're stepping out in faith now. They're saying, Lord, I'm going to give back to you what you have given to me. And I'm going to trust you now for the rest that you're going to provide. The things that are going to come after the fact now. That's a life of faith. That's difficult to do. But that's what God has called us to do. To give to the Lord from the top and not the bottom. Sometimes we go, okay, I got to cover all my needs. I got to pay my bills. I got to do this. And, oh, Lord, sorry. Yeah, I got nothing left. Sorry about that, God. Maybe next month. See if I can work that in the budget a little bit better. God says, honor me with your first fruits, because in so doing, we are saying exactly that, Lord, I'm trusting you for the rest. First of all, you've given me this. You've blessed me with this. So I'm going to give back to you what is already yours. And I'm going to trust you for the rest. And God says, it's the only place in the Bible where God says, test me in these things. In the book of Malachi, he says, bring your offerings, your tithes and offerings to me, and see if I will not open up the heavens and just pour out blessing upon you. It's the only place in the Bible he says to test him in. Test him in the area of giving, finances. Now, we don't make a big deal about it in our church here. Some of you that might be new, you're seeing we don't pass a plate around. We don't talk a lot about offerings. I had somebody came last week, and they were shocked. They're like, where's the plate? How come you don't pass a plate around? What do you guys do? We say, well, we just, you know, we have an offering box in the back there and in the next building. And we just want people to give as they're led of the Lord to do. We don't want to make a big deal about it. But the Bible talks about it. So because we don't talk too much about it when it comes up in the Bible, I got to really emphasize it. So we're going to be here for the next like couple weeks in giving. No. And by the way, guys, let me just say thank you so much, everybody that just gives faithfully to the church here. You guys, the Lord is just blessing, you know. And we've got a big, you know, kind of budget in a sense with just having a building here. But, you know, we finished our year like $800 to the good, you know. It's just enough. And that's what God loves to do. Proverbs 31 says, you know, Lord, give me just what I need. Don't give me too much so that I forget about you and forsake you. And don't give me too little to where I have to go and steal and rob and defame your name, basically. Give me my daily need. And that's what God does here. He meets our need exactly as we need it. We're not looking to make a big profit here. But we just want God to meet the needs, and he's done that so faithfully. So thank you for giving. Thank you for honoring the Lord in those things, and he's blessing the church because of it. But we don't make a big deal about it. It's not wrong to pass, understand, it's not wrong to pass an offering plate around. We might do that sometimes. So don't be shocked if you do. Don't think that, oh, the church is backslidden, they're taking up, they're passing a plate now. It's not wrong to do that. We just feel like as a church, that's not something we want to put the emphasis on, because a lot of people that might come in from, you know, an unchurched background think that that's all the church is about. Just, they just want your money. So we don't make a big deal about it. But it's a big deal to God. God wants you to honor him with your finances. And understand that this becomes an act of worship too. We give to the Lord. We serve him through our giving, through our finances. And it becomes an act of worship. When you are giving your tithes and offerings, you know, just thank the Lord for that money that he's given you, how he's provided for you. Honor the Lord with it and pray that he just continues to provide for you and that you use that money wisely, that you be a good steward of what he's given you. Let that be an act of worship. Before you drop that off, that envelope in, just give a little thanks to the Lord because he's blessing you. And as we give, as we are givers, as we're surrendering our heart and trust to the Lord, look at what he says he's going to do. The promise here is that your barns will be filled with plenty. Is that good? Guys, it's not a rule without exceptions, understand. There may be a reason God doesn't overflow your barns financially, but I will tell you that my life in Christ, regardless of what my bank account says, my life in Christ just causes my barns to burst. All right? Sounds kind of weird, I know, but apply that how you want. But my life is just overflowing with the goodness of God. And I don't need a big bank account to say that my life is good. My life lived in trust in the Lord, regardless of where my bank account is. He blesses me. He loves me. He's forgiven me my sin. He's providing a place for me that where he is, I may be also. You see, my life is good. My barns are bursting right now. And I love that. God wants to bless you. The principle here, the New Testament parallel, is found in Matthew 6:21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And then Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. That's great. Okay, well, enough about finances. If you have any questions about that, come and talk to one of the pastors here, the elders. But again, just thank you for giving. And God just wants you to have a heart of surrender to him, trust in him, and honoring him with all that you have. Verse 11. And we're going to end with these next two verses. Verse 11 is, submit to God here now we're looking at. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as the Father, the Son, in whom he delights. This is a very good word for us here today. Let's be honest. We don't really like chastening, do we? Discipline is what we're looking at. We don't really like that. We're not praying, Lord, just discipline me more, God. Please, more discipline. We don't pray that. This is not something that we naturally gravitate to or desire or want. This isn't something we get excited about here. But it's through discipline and chastening of the Lord that teaches us. His purpose is to instruct us so that we might grow, you see. The very word for chastening is translated as instruction, the majority of the time that this word in the Hebrew is used in the Old Testament. The majority of the time that this word chastening is used, it's translated instruction. This is what God desires to do. His discipline is about instructing. His chastening does this. It corrects us, it protects us, directs us, and perfects us. He's instructing us in the way that we need to walk for our blessing and benefit. He wouldn't be a good God if he didn't do that, right? Right? That'd be like me watching one of my kids when they're just like an infant, a toddler, playing with a knife and trying to stick it in the electrical socket, you know? And me just sitting here going, oh, isn't that precious? Look at our little baby. He wants to be an electrician, I guess. Isn't that sweet? Oh, it's so cute. Just jam that in a little bit more there. No, that would be wrong for me as a father. I'd be like, don't do that. I need a discipline. I need to chase them. I need to instruct them because I don't want them to be hurt. Again, the Father's heart, God's heart is not that he wants to be a heavy on us, but he comes alongside to instruct us for our benefit and for our help, you see. It's out of love for my child that I would do that. It's out of love that God has for us that he responds in these ways. He greatly loves us, and so he disciplines us, chastens us, instructs us, so we don't have to find out the hard way or get hurt in the process. In fact, when I go through a time of difficulty or discipline in my life, it only proves that I'm God's son. Why? Because a father only disciplines his own children. Right? We would all love, I'm sure, to discipline other kids at times, right? But we only have the right to discipline our own kids. And when we are going through a time of discipline, we can recognize that as saying, God, you love me and you're responding to me. You're doing a work in my life through this. You're not leaving me alone, pushing me aside, saying, I'm done with you. You're saying, all right, we got some work to do here. And it's because I love you that I'm going to concentrate on this and do a work in you right now. That might feel like discipline, but understand it's me coming alongside to instruct you, to help you, because I love you. This is God's heart for us and to us. It's so good to know that. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 to 6. The writer of Hebrews basically is quoting from Proverbs here. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. When you're getting chastened, just realize, oh, I'm a child of God. It's a good place to be. God loves me, and he's doing a work in my life. This chastening is not equivalent to punishment. Understand that. It's more to do with teaching and correction. So these are great instructions that Solomon is giving to his son, passing on. And we see a great call of instruction. But isn't it great that the Lord says, do this, and now I'm going to do this. You walk in obedience, and there's blessing that's going to follow and accompany that. Guys, don't let obedience be a bad word to you. Don't feel like obedience is oppression that some people might think it is. Obedience breeds blessing in your life. It's marked out for us right here in Proverbs, okay? Let's take that to heart, as has been a great emphasis here in this passage. We'll pick it up next week in verse 13. Oh, and happy is the man who finds wisdom right there. Bingo. This is going to be good. Happy is the man who finds wisdom. We'll start with that next week. So we're gonna close in prayer here. But let me just add a quick announcement here. As you guys all probably know by now, we sent out an email. We mentioned it last Sunday in church, but we're going to be moving to two services starting January 31st. That's coming up quickly. We're going to be having a 9 o'clock and an 11 o'clock service with childcare, Sunday school, children's ministry taking place in the second service. Let us know if you have any questions about any of that, but we are going to have a meeting next Sunday after our service right here in the sanctuary for all those people that are involved on a Sunday basis, whether it be ushering, greeting, worship, doing coffee, children's ministry, whatever it is. We're going to just have a little powwow after. And this meeting is also open to all those that are looking to be involved in some way on a Sunday. And we're hoping that having two services now, it provides an opportunity for people to say, all right, this is great. I get to step up now and get involved in some areas of ministry or just practical ministry on a Sunday where I can serve maybe in one service and sit in on the second service. So this is a great opportunity. So we'll have some things laid out next Sunday as to areas of need. So if you can join us next Sunday after the service, and we'll just meet in the sanctuary here and talk about how this is all going to look and ways that we can all be involved together. All right? So we're going to pray, and after I pray, we're dismissed. But the front is open for prayer. Prayer teams will be available here to pray with you. Some of you that might be new might look around and go, oh man, everybody just seems so wonderful and perfect around here. But understand, we're as messed up as the next person. Don't feel like you cannot come to the front and receive prayer thinking that everybody's going to be looking at you going, what's the matter with me? We all have problems. We're all messed up, okay? But we're all simply looking to the one who is not messed up and is able to help us in our time of need. And we would love to be able to pray with you and for you if we can do that. So let's go to the Lord now, and we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this morning, this time that we can come and worship you and receive instruction from the greatest place to receive instruction, that is your word. This is your heart to us, and you've given us some great things to take home here today. And I pray that we'd be those applying them to our heart, living them out, and that we'd be walking in your blessing this week as you direct our paths, as we live with trust and faith in you and acknowledge you in all of our ways. So Lord, thank you for teaching us, for instructing us today. Have your way in our lives. Bless our time of fellowship right now. May we just grow in love one with another. We pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. Have a great week, guys. God bless you.